Well, once again, we try to take this time during the offertory to answer questions that you may have about the Bible or about how the Bible relates to a particular subject. And so I'm just so thankful for the questions that keep coming in and just want to encourage you to keep doing that. There is a place in your bulletin that you can tear out, or you can just put a piece of paper in there with a question, and we'll try to get around to your questions. Some of you are probably saying, well, he hasn't gotten to mine yet. We'll do it, and if I haven't, within probably 2 months, then send it in again because I've lost it. Certainly didn't try to do that. If you turn your Bibles to Psalm 139, it's a great question that was given this past week, dealing with how should I feel about something. And in this particular case, let me just read the question. Is it wrong to feel inferior to others? That's quite a question, isn't it? Is it wrong to feel inferior to others? And I would say absolutely positively yes. It's wrong to feel inferior to others. God has revealed to us that we are important to Him. Now, as I've just said that, it's also wrong to feel superior to others. And that's the wonderful thing about our faith. We realize that God has given us worth by virtue of His dying on the cross for our sins. And this is why John declares in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, "Behold, what love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. And such we are," he says. So what a wonderful thing that God would allow us to be called children of God, as Scripture clearly says, not by any righteous deeds that we have done in Titus chapter 3, but according to His mercy, He saved us. But why are you valuable? And the answer is because you've been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Peter writes about this in 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, you were not redeemed with things like silver and gold. You were redeemed with the valuable blood of Jesus Christ. So you often ask, well, what is a thing worth? Well, it's worth what somebody will pay for. And you've been purchased with the most valuable thing in the universe. You are valued. That's why John says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Psalm 139 tells us that God searches us and He knows us and He scrutinizes our path and He's intimately acquainted with all of our ways. And why would He be intimately acquainted with the ways of a nobody? But to you, to Him, you're somebody. And He values you beyond comprehension. If you read in Psalm 139, it says, even before there's a word in my tongue, verse 4, behold, you know it. Lord, why would you even be concerned about the things that I might speak? And why would you be thinking about the things that I was going to talk about before I even talked about them? Thou hast enclosed me behind and before you laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I can't attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there thy hand will lead me and thy right hand will hold me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to thee and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to thee, for thou dost form what? My inward parts. He's taken time with us. You look at the days of creation and how He created all things. And I often comment, and you're going to get sick and tired of me mentioning it, but it's just such an amazing thing. He says, oh yes, on this day He created the stars. That's all He says. I mean, can you imagine the vast universe that we have? And He just goes, oh yeah, I did this on this day. But then He talks about the detail of man and how He breathes life in the man. And we go, why are you giving this dirt so much detail? And He says, because I created it all for Him. See, the scientists are scratching their heads. They go, there's got to be life out there because nobody would create everything for us. And Christ says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Because He's made you sons, joint heirs of all that's created. It's yours. That's what an amazing thought. Are you valuable? Absolutely. Thou hast formed my inward parts. Thou hast weaned me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. If you feel like you're inferior, what you're saying is God made some mistake. He made an inferior product. That is not true. God wove you. He knew what he was making. You say, but I'm not perfect. He knew what he was making. He is making a tool for a purpose. As you go into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, what you read is that God has placed everybody in the body different. And one of the things he states is some parts of the body don't look so great. But sometimes those parts that don't look so great are more valuable than the parts that look great. Each part has a purpose. And you can't say to the one part, I don't have any need of you. God has so placed in the body a purpose for everyone. And so how God has made you, you are exactly the way he wanted you to be. And you just need to submit your life wholly to him that you might realize the wonder that he had in store of you being you. And certainly God has great and wonderful things in store for you. So are you valuable? Absolutely, positively you're valuable. And there's no way for you to be thinking that you're inferior. You're different than others, but that's not inferior. I want to make mention of something, if I could, before we close. And if you just take a moment and turn me to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. Every couple of years, sometimes 3 years, it's been about 3 years, I go back over to India, and Family Bible we actually have a school over there. I was telling my wife, I said, we actually own more property in India than we do in Florida. That's a pretty wild thought, because we just actually purchased another piece of property in which we'll be building a church in India. And Robinson and Molly, Robinson will be the pastor of the church there. And we're pretty excited about that. The school that we have over there is that which trains basically pastors that have no formal training in the Bible. And so our school trains them. We have, at this point, 750 that are waiting to graduate. So when we go over there, you know, it's going to be a lot of people because usually they bring their families. We're looking at probably 3,000 or 4,000 people. But the point is that these men have gone through a lot to pastor. Many of them have, I mean, there was one time that we went over there for the graduation, and within a week or two afterwards, three or four of them had been killed because the Muslims had come in to destroy their churches. So these men have taken grand stands on behalf of the Lord, and we are so thankful to be a part of, and the Lord has allowed us to be a part of this. This is certainly nothing that we have done, but God has wrought this work. So we have graduation, and when we do, these men wait for graduation, and I feel bad because in many respects, and I keep telling them, I said, go ahead and have the graduation. No, we will not have the graduation without you. So so when we go over there, we try to make it, if I can put it this way, an encouraging time to these pastors. There's not a whole lot of resources that they have in which they get encouragement. They're in their own territory, and most of the pastors that go through the course are of the Sikh tribe, and there's just a lot of influences that try to undermine them. Nevertheless, they're very bold, basically almost right on the Pakistan border, so there's other things involved and other dangers involved, It's in a very dark place as far as all kinds of really hostile religions, and we've often made mention of people having altars in their backyard to sacrifice their babies. But it's just a dark place, and these pastors are really lights in a very dark place. We feel that we should do everything we can when we're over there as well as when we're here to encourage them. And so we try to make the graduation something memorable to them. That means that we buy all the gowns for them. That means that we feed everybody that shows up on that graduation day. And we try to make sure that nothing comes out of pocket from Robinson and Molly, because they live off entirely everything that we send over there to support them. So we try not to take from that. So what I usually do shortly before we start heading over is I just let the need be made known. And we're figuring that we're probably going to need pretty close to $6,000 or $7,000 for this graduation. So as the Lord burdens your hearts, praise the Lord, He's already taken care of the air flight. I'm thankful about that. As the Lord burdens your heart, I just can't think of investing in anything more wonderful than the lives of these pastors and encouraging them. There's a passage here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It reads this way. If you drop on down to verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are doing. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. And I just think it's a time that we can esteem these gentlemen very highly and let them know that we appreciate. And it's very important to them that this is a time of recognition in their lives. So let me just encourage you on that. Father, we want to give you thanks for opportunity to serve. And Lord, we want to give you thanks for the fact that you love us just as we are. And before the foundation of the world, you said you loved us, which proved to us that it wasn't any works that we have done, but you loved us in spite of ourselves. And you had a plan for us right from the very start. Thank you that there are no throwaways in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.